Welcome to No Dice, the podcast after the Dice with Death podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Bateman, and I'm joined by a Gith Yankee and goblin-hating bird, who to Zakiya he would keep his word. It's the clerical bird person with no canonical last name. It's Ark, a.k.a. Mr. Jamie Powis.
Hi. Just to confirm, I don't hate the Gith or the goblins, and I might not keep my word. Just to confirm all that.
But hold on. In the episodes gone by, you're not a fan of the Gith, Yankee, or goblins. That's what I thought. Is that not right? Have I got that wrong?
I think he's had some pasts with the Gith, Yankee, and the goblins, but I don't think he dislikes them intensely. I think he thinks war's war, and... You know, people do things in war because they have to, and he's got nothing against them, really.
Okay. Nice cover there, Ark. You're not going to get cancelled.
I do want to say that when Zach asked me, was it the last episode, going, are you definitely going to keep your word? Did not do an insight check on me. So you have no idea.
Yeah, nobody absolutely. Did an insight check. And Zach being a bit blindly trusting, that works out. If I'd have done a perception check, would I have seen two fingers cross behind your back?
like a Key and Peele kind of sweat thing going on. It would have been pretty bad.
Okay, guys, we'll get into this in a second. I've got to finish the intros. I'm also joined by a half-elven hero, a good lass, and not a baddie, who could be in insane proximity to her mummy and daddy. It's everyone's favourite mistress of magic, Zakiya Rubbledusk, a.k.a. Miss Amy Mallett.
Woo! Oh, yeah. You can tell we've all missed each other loads because we're all straight in with the questions and the banter. I'm really excited. It's got a bit Jeremy Kyle for Zach, isn't it? What's the OG one? Was it Maury Povich, where they used to announce who Montel the daddy Williams. Was?
You yes. are... Not the father.
Not the no! father.
Trisha. Does anybody remember Trisha?
Trisha. I had a weird crush on Ricky Lake.
Ricky Lake, man. Oh, she was Ricky Lake. Fit.
Oh, go, yes. Ricky. Go, Ricky.
Go, Ricky. Go, Ricky. More references from the UK specific there. American audiences will put some stuff in the show notes, I'm sure. And finally, I'm of course also joined by a muscular mover and deceptive Goliath who likes to think he's good undercover, who regrets his Champion Games team name now that he thinks he sees his lover. It's the big beefy boy himself, Titus Thunderbastard Caligarvi, a.k.a. Mr. Adam Wilborn.
Yes, Team Arzatit for life.
Do you fully regret naming the team, as I think you mentioned in the episode, now that possibly, well, we know Zalu is very close to you right now at the Champion Games?
I mean, I to be honest, if, and Titus is obviously, you know, do work with what you know, hence why I'm 7.5 foot tall and just jacked, obviously, you know, relating it back to me. I think that Zalu is eventually going to have to get to know me, and I think this is very much in Titus's character. So if she likes that, then she kind of knows what she's going to get into in the long run. But yeah, maybe not the best time to just say the first thing that came to our heads then when they said, what do you want your team name to be?
to be fair, I don't feel like this, but it was one of the questions in my mind when I was writing that part of that specific episode was, do I let these guys know that I'm going to get them to name their team? And I thought, oh, do I send the text and go, hey guys, get in your group chat that's away from me and think up a team name. But honestly, organically, I think you guys came up with the most fitting name that makes absolutely no sense, apart from it being part of your names all put together. Yeah. You know, like you normally would do when you start a band in like high school or something. You just, oh, what can we be called? but yeah, Arzatit is now emblazoned across Stadia Concretia with falling banners in gold, having, you know, come third place in the tournament. I guess, we'll rewind slightly back a little bit, maybe four episodes, to episode 25, The Galactic Gate. And right off the bat, I kind of just want to ask Jamie, because he mentioned it at the end of episode 24 that he was going to go super loco. But how loco did you feel, Jamie, when you went through a galactic gate and you ended up on a planet that wasn't the one that you wanted to be on?
That was really annoying for Ark. Really annoying. I just think it makes it a bit more desperate, really, just to get on and get things moving. I think as a character, Ark will now probably just do things to continue kind of things rather than think things through. I don't know. I think Ark was very angry.
Right. So you think Ark's priorities have maybe slightly changed in the fact that you're being on a different planet and then skipping ahead a few episodes, you now see Field Marshal Haliator Saves, like, I don't know, maybe 400 feet away from you through a glass corridor. Like, is Ark abandoning stuff? Is he like, right, fuck this. This is what I need to do.
Is he abandoning stuff? I think Ark's motives have always been to save his family. So I don't think he's ever going to abandon that. I don't know if Petra Solidus has always been his kind of like... I don't think he particularly cares about Petra Solidus still. I think he only really cares about saving his family. I think it would be very interesting in the next episode if he's in kind of like reaching distance of Aves, just to see what happens. Because, you know, personally, I've been thinking about, right, what is the most damage that I can deal to someone in one turn? Kind of, how do I make that happen kind of thing? So...
And Ark's the most OP character we have, and we know you're a min-maxer when it comes to stats. You want to make sure that you can deal the most damage as well as, I think, heal the most as well. But yeah, being in that glass corridor, and it was that instance in I can't remember what episode it was. I think it was episode 27. She'll Be Mad, when you said, you know, when I hit my head on the glass ceiling, did it crack? I was just like, wow. Like, there's rage, and like, Ark wants to get at that Field Marshal Aves.
I can definitely see him doing the whole, my name is Arximus Decimus Meridius, husband to a, I mean, she's not dead, but husband to a potentially murdered wife.
Father to a murdered chick.
Two murdered chicks.
Two murdered chicks. Sorry, I forgot how many kids you had. Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, it's going to be so intense. I think actually seeing him, obviously, I know we're sort of fast forwarding a little bit from the Galactic Gate, but yeah, I think that whole interaction where he has affected the lives of Ark and Zack in such like just intense ways, like he has changed the course of their destinies, and also, yeah, he's the one that Zack's been wanting to get her hands on for a while as well. Yeah. So I don't know how that's going to go.
I wonder how the situation would pan itself out, I guess, if, because at the moment you guys, you know, at the end of the latest episode, you are victorious and triumphant, having, you know, won the first day of the games. You're in a public place, essentially, and rules have been laid down by various game officials. If you were just to walk up to somebody in the middle of the street and kill them, there are consequences. So what I wonder next is how all of your characters, with whoever is closest to you and whoever you want to get to quickly, will navigate a situation that isn't, it's not private. It's not like you guys just meeting in a dungeon and just being like, well, there's no one else here. Like, I'm just going to like slay this person and kill them.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how those interactions will go down if you guys manage to meet the people that you actually want to meet in the place that you are, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that there was that glass barrier there was so incredibly, like, it's so like meta in a way, because like they're the people that have always been just out of reach, and now they actually are, like, but in this space, in this kind of like public arena, yeah, like, what are we going to be able to do? Like, we can't really even have the conversations that we probably want to have. And are they going to continue to just be sort of like a distant figment, or are we actually going to get to interact with them? It still feels like we've only graced the surface of things like Titus's old manager, Elmin Monroe. Like, we've finally seen Zarlu. Like, that must have been pretty mad when you realised that was Zarlu.
Yeah, it's ironic you mentioned that, because I was going to say, when we met Elmin many, many episodes back, he just sort of appeared You know, there was no like, oh, there's rumours that so-and-so's been here and I could sort of mentally prepare myself for that happening. And when it was just like, oh, there he is and he's having a meeting with these people. It was exactly the same as Zarlo. I think there was a tease at the end of one of the episodes, wasn't you? You were like a Goliath princess. And I was like, huh? I sort of half missed it, I think, when you first said it.
Mm.
And then the next episode, I was like, ah, oh, shit, here we go then. Right, so they're all just piled in there now. We've got, you know, like you say, the high elves and the, you know, Arakokran people and in military clothing and stuff like that. So it's all just on the line as if... Oh, by the way, I'm loving the Champion Games. They're so much fun. But I get that there's a lot riding on this as well at the same time. And time is of the essence as well. It's not just doing the thing. It's not just you've got to defeat your opponent. You've got to do it in quick fashion because you're up against so many other teams. And they were only on day one, aren't we? We've just done day one.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, just on day one. And I think to reset, you know, kind of why you guys are there, it's because of Mr. Moto Hirokoshi telling you about the manipulators. Mm. And this is where the manipulator is, you know, situated. And Jamie, I know you were saying with, you know, Ark's kind of priorities, he's like, oh, Petro Solidus, what the fuck is this shit? Like, whatever. I just want to see my family. I've been gone for so long. And now that I'm, you know, face to face with my nemesis, essentially, my father-in-law, like a direct, you know, relation to my wife and like a connection to my family. Fuck all this Petro Solidus shit. But I think you're in a situation where it's going to be so tough, like politically or socially, to just go, oh, right, Harley 8 Saves is over there. I'm just going to go over, kill him, stab him, whatever. But then again, thinking about that, I don't think Ark would give a fuck. Like, I don't think Jamie as a character would just be like, oh, no, I'm going to keep social graces. I think Jamie would just be like, fine, if this is where Ark dies, then maybe I just run over, kill Harley at his age, like, have my battle, go out as a hero, and face the consequences. I don't know what you think about that, Jamie, but that all just came flooding into my head.
Yeah. Like, just personally, as playing the character, like, I have thought about it. Like, how, like I said, like, how could I deal the most damage? What would I do? What spells would I pick? Because he's, like, we don't know if he's very old. So is he undead? What spells should I use? So I've had to think about it, to be honest. I've also had to think about, like, you know, what's the best strategy to... Because inevitably, I have to get back to Ian to see them. Mm-hmm. But then I don't even know if they are. I mean, again, Ark's assuming they're on Ian at the moment. There's lots of like this. You don't really know what's happening. And from Ark's perspective, I think that previously he's always thought that. And I'm gonna say the word misguided, which is like an understatement for someone who would commit genocide. But always thought he just had his people's best interests at heart. And he just was really misguided around how he put them. So, like, he wanted to warn the Solar Navy off Ian. So he did this massive display of destruction just to protect his people. And I don't see why he would put his daughter in danger because he loves his daughter. Mm. So it's a really interesting situation. So, again, lots of thought about what if I get to meet him, what would I say? What would I do just to get home, really, and just to find out what's happening?
Yeah, how does that, like, you might not have the answer, but, like, thinking about that as a player, how does that conversation even happen? Because until it happens in front of you and you don't really know what you're dealing with and, you know, you don't know where you'll be or who will be around you or what the situation will be, but there's so many, like, infinite possibilities of how that could go down. But I know when that happens that it's just going to, like, it's going to be something epic from Jamie. It might not even be, like, you know, there might not be, like, a lot of words, but like Ark likes to do, just walk into the middle of a room and just, like, decimate everything. Like, I can see that on the horizon coming Jamie's way for Ark, basically.
It's a real powder keg, isn't it? Like, all of the chess pieces that have been kind of, like, brought together from everyone's individual backstories are now in the same place, under the same sort of stadium roof. I do think shit is about to go down. I can't wait to see how it goes. I feel like Zach is also at risk slightly of doing the whole Ark thing of just like not giving a fuck. And I think that stems from, like, with Ark, he has a family. He has kind of something to sort of actually want to preserve and want to protect, and he'll do what is in their best interest, as well as hopefully try and, you know, get to the bottom of whatever he wants to do with the confrontation with Apes. I feel like Zack, if anything, is more of a loose cannon, because she doesn't have the maturity in her and the stakes to kind of actually think things through. And I think actually, if anyone's going to be slightly more reckless, Zack has that potential to kind of just do something stupid that could potentially endanger herself or even her companions, because revenge for her is far... It's almost a bit like... I was thinking about Ellie in The Last of Us, how she's kind of like very... Like, she's so focused on revenge, it's all consuming, because she has nothing left. And I think, although Zack obviously has her companions and she's very close to Ark, she's very close to Titus, there is that part of her, I think, that could just like go, nah, fuck it, I've come all this way for this guy. So yeah, I'm really intrigued to see Aves. Colonel Aves. There's live and breathe.
A very interesting theory I'm sure you want to get onto in a bit, Ollie, that someone sent us. But these are sort of sliding doors moments for me, like you say, in terms of whether you stick to the plan of, you know, winning the games, or like you say, you just have a moment of not necessarily madness, fury, like you say, with the people that we're dealing with here, and just go completely off script and, yeah, just go, oh, bollocks to the long-term plans. Let's just get our revenge right now. Speaking of sliding doors moments, Ollie, I've been fascinated since episode 28 to know what would have happened in game two had it not gone the way that it went.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for this. Bring us Martha.
Okay. So, yes, episode 28, of course, the... episode where you guys absolutely smashed the game two world record for the door. Without even knowing it. Episode 27, you guys went through the dungeon, and then episode 28 was the door and the battlefield. So yeah, I kind of teased it, didn't I? And I said, listen to No Dice and you'll find out everything about
can you go through the right way to do each one of them? Because that's I'm fascinated by what you like what you thought we'd do and how you sort of tried to sort of counteract that. Yeah. Unless that gives away future games, if that doesn't.
No, matter. Not at all. I love this. I was thinking that coming to the episode, I was like, oh, if I give this away, maybe I can't use it later. But if you're a half decent DM, you'll just recycle it and use it for something else. As absolute, like, if stuff doesn't get used, don't chuck it away. Always keep it for another time. Even if you splurt it out loud to all your players because they know what's coming. But you guys played the dungeon really well. The only thing that I would have changed is I put boxes in the room that were kind of, some of them were decimated, some of them were kind of still together. I would have just used the boxes to put on the plates for the second riddle. Because you guys got through the riddle, and like even listening back to that episode now, like very recently, just to hear the cogs turning in all of your heads with like those riddles was great. I'm not especially for like a performative kind of audio podcast stuff, that stuff can really, unless you do, you know, an amazing edit of it, can slow that stuff right down. Mm. But actually, like, all of your combined thinking and thoughts together just get through this game. It really had me laughing. And like, it was just great to see you guys all working together.
Oh, well, I mean, now you say the box thing, like, it just makes me realize how, like, so clear. That's basic escape room shit, isn't it? Like, if you need to hold down a switch, you put a box on it. Like, millions of video game mechanics teach you that.
Yeah.
We did not think that you just put the thing on the box and then you don't need to stand on the panel.
I loved Ark's, like, interpretation of... I can't even remember what the riddle was now, but I think there were two colours left, which was, like, orange and yellow, and Ark was being like, yeah, but it's... Is that for happiness, or is that for like are we not trying to find those two things?
And we went so deep with it, didn't we?
I think the funny thing was, I can remember Amy going, let's just brute force it, let's just do it. And I'm like, no, we have to think this through. And it's like, no, we should just bloody did it.
I love the idea, actually. That's a really good point, actually, Jamie. Like, I like how the Champion Games is not just combat. It is cerebral puzzling. It is a little bit like everything is an escape room in itself, and there are right and wrong ways to do it, hence why this conversation is so exciting. So, yeah.
you guys wait until day two of the champion games. I've got an absolute corker for you. And if I'm not going to tease it too much, but Adam, you're going to love it. Like, specifically, like, I know the champion games has been very Titus Adam like focused, and unfortunately it's going to be that way again when we get to the second day of the games, but it's in the spirit of Titus, let's just say. But right, on to game 2.
We should do a group escape room if we get through the champion games. That's what we should do.
Yes, yeah. I'd love to do that, guys. That'd be so good. I was also going to say, this kind of popped into my head randomly, really quick tangent, Ollie. If this podcast ever gets like signed to like a major production agency or something, like if it ever gets suitably big, I will get Team Arzatit tattooed on me. It just sort of like came into my head while Adam was talking about Arzatit, and I was like, that's a fucking goal.
you know when all of the cast of The Lord of the Rings got that elf, that elvish tattoo on them or something? Like everyone from that has got that. We just get Arzatit. I'll get it as a, if that happens, like, I don't know what the stretch goal is. I'll get it as a tramp stamp on me.
Oh, he's raised the stakes. Yes.
I'm gonna get it like that, so my knuckles, I think I've got enough space. More than enough space. Arzatit on your knuckles.
Oh, yeah, just get Arzatit with an exclamation mark. Yeah. And that fits perfectly. Yeah.
Why does one of your hands say the word tit with an exclamation mark?
I didn't even think about that. That's genius.
My goodness. Right, game 2. This is what we all came here for.
Yes.
Martha,
episode 28.
Or Margaret, as I mistakenly named it. I got a message from Ollie going, who's Margaret? And I was like, oh, fuck. And I was so annoyed at it. I was like, I'm not even opening that message. So it's still unread on my phone.
It's so funny because I sent it and I went, oh, he'll get back to me at some time. And then a day goes by, and then another day goes by, and then another day goes by. And I start thinking in my head, hold on, I edited the VO for this. I edited all the speech. Have I missed something completely? And Jamie's just been like, I was expecting to get a message from Jamie being like, no, you prick. Like, this is where this happens. Yeah, and I'm like, what? So title of the episode is Martha.
If you check now, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yes. No, I did see. I was on.
So anyway, Ollie, tell us about Mary.
There's something about her.
There's something about Martha. There was something about Martha, game 2, which, Adam, you wanted me to bring up and talk about. It was very much, and you said this in the episode, and it was so spot on, Titus loves to headbutt doors. So why don't I just put a door in front of you that I thought you were going to headbutt? Like, I literally thought, this is bait. Like, this is absolute bait for Titus to walk in and go, oh, it's a door, I'm going to fucking headbutt it down. But that frontage with the voice behind it, basically, if you'd done anything to the door that wasn't just like knock and ask to come in, which I can't believe you guys actually did.
we're polite, what can I say? We've been raised well.
I know. If you'd headbutted the door, Martha would have started speaking to you, but as like a very like weary neighbourhood watch kind of woman on the street. And she would have got so scared that she would have asked her big mountain giant brute of a son to get you guys off her doorstep. So essentially, if you'd headbutted the door or tried to pick the lock or climb in through a window, that sitcom frontage of that cottage would have been absolutely destroyed by a mountain giant who's like 20 feet tall, has a reach with a club of like 15 feet, so like can hit you absolutely anywhere in the room.
Oh my God.
And then Ark, you know, you were up in the sky looking towards the back of the room that just went on and on and on. Like, as soon as that cottage would have been destroyed, you guys would have been rolling D4s for like disasters within the room. So one of them was like a cave-in. So like the further you got down, you had this big brutish giant like chasing you and things were caving in. There was lava. There was like, I think I did. It's much like when you guys fought Gunderson Hemingworth Smythe on the mountain and you had the natural disasters. But there were like more sand would pour in, or you get shot by arrows, or there'd be lava. and all there'd be a cave in. But yeah, there was this whole section which I thought, I'm gonna fucking get him here. Like, Titus is gonna headbutt this door and all shit's gonna go down. Or Ark or Zakiya might be sneaky and think, okay, let's pick the lock. But you guys just went up to the door and said, can we come in for some tea?
You've given Titus a complex now. Like, Titus is not going to headbutt another door ever.
Yeah.
Just in case now.
I mean, I doubt that very much.
Who am I kidding? But that's so funny, isn't it? Because you would normally, Ads. You'd normally be like, yeah, okay, yeah. Let's give it a go. Why did we think, maybe it was just the way you described this lovely quaint cottage and we're like, we can't possibly do this to Mavis.
Yeah, maybe I played upon, I don't know what I played upon, but it was, I think it might have been the way I described the cottage or something, you know, doily kind of curtains.
It was so wholesome, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that you guys just went, oh no, we're not going to kick the door in, we're just going to go up and ask. And then you spoke to Martha, who let you through, and hey, record timing of the games, and that got you guys from, I think it was fifth place into third. So like really clutch, because I think by the end of the battlefield, when you guys all fought the orc, mage, barbarian and monk, you would have been really pushing to like get that fourth place, because behind the scenes I'd rolled some dice just to see, you know, how many turns it would take for you guys to be in this place, in this position and blah blah blah. So yeah, you guys smashed it, absolutely smashed it. But yeah, very much like the mountain, you would have been rolling natural disaster checks and facing up against the big mountain giant, and yeah, all chaos would have consumed you for that round. Which I actually think the way it happened was great, because we got to the battlefield quicker and got the absolute comedy of fucking Titus blowing sand in a barbarian's face and drop kicking him off a disc onto the mountain peaks below, and then you guys doing that that Will Ferrell bit from Austin Powers.
That was great. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, I remember because he was climbing up, wasn't he, the guy? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to shoot him with an arrow and I miss. And I was like, I'm crying out loud. I can't even shoot a guy who's literally a sitting duck on the side of a mountain. Yeah, that was awesome. I think it was genuinely really funny how the Martha thing went down. It was so surreal. I think that's what made it hilarious, was that we had not a clue what we'd done or not done in that environment. And Ollie, it must have felt really weird for you when we just did it. You must have been like screaming internally, like, how is this? How has this happened?
Well, on to the next one. Yeah.
I was actually so happy because I did really just want to get to the end of the game. I was like, okay, you've spent, you know, one episode in the first room. If we do three episodes doing all three games, maybe more, it might have dragged out a bit too much.
Yeah, I think so.
But you guys played an absolute blinder and just smashed through it, and, you know, reward you guys for doing, you know, the right thing. That's how it should be.
I will point out the sand stuff as well, because I can't remember exactly whether or not we included that on the audio at the end of it, because it was when we were leaving the first room, and we sort of we're in the process of leaving, and we did the whole Ollie did his whole wrap up and blah blah blah, and I didn't want to cut across that, but after we finished recording, I was like, I just want to make sure everyone's aware, so I'm not bringing this up, you know. And you go, what are you talking about? That was never a thing. But I was like, before we left that room, Titus just scooped up a little bit of sand and put it in his pocket. And you were like, okay, I'll remember that and what have you. And I had in my notes, like, bold, underlined, sand in pocket. And then, like, Ollie's like, you're on this raised platform. And I was like, oh, how big's this raised platform? And I was like, well, if you're ever going to use it, now is the time. And yeah, it just worked perfectly. And the fact that he got back up just to die again immediately. Oh, finally made it back into this battle. Nope.
See ya. Falling down onto a peak, getting shot at, even though they missed, getting shot arrows at by Zakiya. Hilarious. Then climbing all the way back up. Then as soon as he popped up, getting a javelin straight in the chest from Tyus and falling to his death. And then I think we then retconned it a little bit as well, because Jamie, when you killed the mage, you'd like saved the javelin out of that guy's... Because I think you killed the mage with a spell, didn't you? But then you were just like, oh, I'm going to finish him off with this javelin as well.
I wanted to make him a cocktail stick, basically. Little cocktail stick. And little olive at the end of my cocktail stick. So yeah.
Stick him in a martini. Job's a good one.
I want to head over now to Comment Corner, where I'm going to shout out Solace Thomas on Twitter, or Thomas Solace. Thank you so much for your gifts and tweets over the episodes. But Thomas decided that He would live tweet the episode as he was listening to it. All with GIFs. All with GIFs. So just to break down the episode through Thomas Solace's GIFs of the episode, of course we start off with Leonidas from "This is Sparta" in 300. Titus blowing sand in his face and drop kicking him off. Like, absolutely brilliant. The then "I've fallen and I can't get up" GIF, which is, I don't know where, I don't actually know where it's from, but it is just an old woman on the floor saying, "I've fallen and I can't get up," which was insane. And then I think this GIF in particular really described in my head how I thought this was going between Arc and the Mage. But it's the Dragon Ball Z meme of Goku and Vegeta on the cliffs, just like standing facing off with each other. Like, Jamie, how did, like, you've had one-on-one fights in this campaign before, but like with that mage who annoyingly as well, like, this, like, counterspelled you, like, how did that feel in that instance?
So counterspell is a really cool spell that basically as a caster you can just completely revoke a spell that someone else has cast. You can also counterspell a counterspell, which is always fun. I don't mind counterspell because I think to myself, oh, that's a spell slot they've used, kind of thing. So I've just removed that from their kind of spell repertoire. I really like it's like there's a really great first level spell that's just come out, which is Silvery Barbs, which is an insanely powerful kind of like just reaction spell. But I think if everyone can use them, then it's absolutely fine. So I didn't mind that. That's all right.
You didn't mind that.
I was shocked people didn't, and I probably should have shouted this out as Arc, but like beeline the mage, because generally the mage is the person who's going to cause the most destruction and is the easiest one to kill. So I thought, right, Arc, go to the mage. Everyone will join me at the mage. And I was like, no one's coming to me with the mage.
You are head and shoulders the most D&D savvy person out of all of us. So never assume that we are going to do anything like that.
I thought it's fine. I'll be all right. I'll get there first. I try and...
If I can employ the old TFL adage, see it, say it, sort it.
yes.
Ark, if you see that happening, and I think actually, Titus and Zakaia, you probably learn from your past mistakes. Because during that episode, I think Titus did say at one point, "Oh, it looks like he's got this. So I'm not going to get involved." And I'm pretty sure that happened before, and Ark died. So
yeah,
we just need to communicate better, gang. We need to communicate. Yeah, no, definitely. No, we're not. I speak for myself. Definitely. Like, there was a moment in that episode where I sort of did like a little riff, like a bit on the guy who I don't know, he was downed or something, and I think I said something like, "Oh, he should have rolled for this," or no, "should have disengaged" or something. Yeah. And then Jamie in the most I think you'll find voice when well, actually, he can't because of X reason. Yeah. And I was like, every time, I think I'll learn a thing.
Yeah,
so... Can I just confirm, maybe, like, the reason is he didn't have the action to do it? Just want to tell you that, though.
You said it in that voice. You said it in that voice. And I learned very, very hard on that moment.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you did, Amy, because you don't know what the reason was. You can remember that. You can remember the question, but you don't remember
I've
the reason.
Repressed the anxiety and the trauma.
It's been a long time since we recorded, guys. Everybody who's listening, it's been a long time.
I couldn't even remember what it was. I just remember how it made me feel. I remember how it made me feel. I had COVID. It was like being kicked when I was down.
Oh, God, it was that long ago. You had COVID.
Yeah, I had
COVID.
It was like months and months ago that we last recorded. So, but yeah, but that's exactly it. Like, it, me and Adam are learning. I mean, definitely. Like, even how many episodes in are we? But yeah, maybe we do need to be a bit like, what's the strat, Arc?
Well, no.
Yeah, I mean, you guys always do that anyway. I think a lot of the times you do that. I mean, some episodes you know you'll go off on your own tangent because you're like, oh, I'm fighting this person, but you know, I think I mentioned a couple no dices ago, it felt like you guys were getting more tactical anyway. I mean, Zakiya, you are casting spells like there's no tomorrow. Like, in the last few games, you are just using your spells, and that makes me as a DM so happy, because you're, like, really exploring what Zakiya is all about. And, you know, it might be an ice knife, it might be an entangle, it might, you know, here, there, and everywhere, you're using stuff. But
I think the totem as well. Like, I always used to forget to use my totem and things like that. And actually, there were a few moments listening back to that episode, I was like, there's a few moments where actually people survived because they had extra HP and stuff like that. Or sort of little moments. And I was like, okay, sometimes it's not always about, like, the strength of it. It's about just thinking about how you can support. Because, I mean, obviously, Arc is mad spells, Titus is mad strength. And we always make the joke, don't we, about me being a strong little lady. A strong little lady, like, weirdly somewhere in the middle for a druid. But yeah, it's just learning, even things like learning Ice Knife and how obviously, like, that explodes on impact, and if you land it in the right place, you'll hurt one of your party members. Like, yeah, it's definitely closing the lid, unfortunately, is something I'll still never learn. You must close the lid, be it on the ship or a box with a cock in it. Always close the lid.
Always close the lid.
Close the lid.
Your cantrips, though, cantrip use is awesome. And then, like you said, that that totem is the one thing that kept Ark up after getting beaten the shit out by a mage. I think it was a fireball that would have...
Two fireballs
would have killed me if it wasn't for that that totem. So thank you very much for your totem.
You are most welcome, Father. You're most welcome. But it's true. Approval accepted. Just the mage thing, though, is really useful to remember, actually, thinking about it. Because they are the glass cannons, aren't they? They are the weakest, and they're the ones who are going to cause the most damage. So go for the mage.
It's the long range spells, I guess. It's the stuff that's like, if you're 60 feet away and you've got to spend two turns without using a dash action to get up to a mage, they can already do so much damage to you before you get there. So with Jamie's tactical mind within the D&D world, absolutely the right idea to get a wizard, get a mage, get at a sorcerer, get at a warlock, just get at them because they will hit you from afar. Back to some of Thomas Solace's gifts here, and we move on to, I think, one of my favourite, which is the "You shall not pass" with Gandalf as Ark electrocuted the orc mage, because I cast invisibility and I was like, I've been really smart here. Invisibility, he's going to use some movement, he's going to get away. Ark just slams his staff down and just picks him out because he's just at the edge of the area where you can get him. So you lit him up like a fucking Christmas tree and the fight was back on. So a fun moment for me, even though I couldn't get away with what I was doing. The ice cube and Chris Tucker gift from Friday. Damn! Which I think is in reaction to Titus's final kill the barbarian. You know, that javelin through the chest. Just brilliant. The Shawn Michaels poses. You're all posing on the end of the disc and pyrotechnics are going off and it's flexing. The Thor electrical charge gif where Ark is calling down this lightning.
That was just really cool.
That's just happening for like 10 minutes and Zakiya goes, I'm just going to walk off now, I need a wee. Like it's just going on for too long. And then Thomas Solace's like best gif for the whole episode, one that just summed up that cliffhanger right at the end, is the Douglas Renham gift from the IT crowd as he walks into his father's funeral and just, Father! Just at the top of his lungs. Father!
And then he runs down the little aisles. It's actually one of my favourite moments in the IT crowd ever. I'm listening, Father.
If anybody out there is listening and is either not from the UK or you're from America but you've not seen the IT crowd, please watch the IT crowd. Matt Berry is absolutely sensational.
So, so funny.
But it summed up the absolute mindfuck of an episode where, first of all, Zakiya, you see a group called the Femme Fatales, happen to have a member of that party in it who is a Champion Games winner previous. Vixen, who looks the spitting image of you. You then had that flashback to, you know, where you were in your bedroom with your stepmom and the four-year-old version of you. There's that picture on the wall that there were silhouettes from, which is connected to the necklace that's around your neck and blah, blah. And then it all makes sense. It's like, oh, fuck, I look exactly like that person. And then right at the end where you see this high elf who shakes hands with someone who is or will be your sworn enemy, Harley Ater saves, and then lifts their cloak off and reveals that, oh my God, I look exactly the same as that person as well. What is going on? What runs through Zakiya's mind in all of that episode? Like, because that is an absolute roller coaster for you as someone who is like, parentage is questioned at this point in the campaign. Mm.
Oh, God, where to begin? I mean, obviously, you know, Zach had the first inkling of the fact that, like, I mean, she obviously knows the gnomes aren't her biological parents. But I feel as though she always just sort of put that to the back of her mind because of how happy she was where she lived with Brenna and her dad. And I just think it's especially her mum. There was such a close relationship there. And then when she met Madame Mordana, that's when we get that whole, oh, you know, your mother is proud of you. So that's the first clue. But so much of this now has, like, it's a bit like catchphrase, you know, like when the bits of the picture start disappearing and you finally start to go, oh my God, yeah, I totally know what that is. Like, she really, at this point, although she's clearly very confused and overwhelmed by it, has a real understanding that whoever this person is that she's looking at is most likely related to her. And the fact that the woman, the games attendant, reacted so weirdly to her as well, that obviously, like, really, you know, that hadn't gone unnoticed in me either. And the picture, obviously, Vixen is clearly, you know, at this point, she thinks that is her mum. She does. How she's going to approach it, though, is just sort of, I mean, obviously, I don't want to give too much away, but I think she's just so confused at this point. And you've got Aves, who's there almost like distracting her attention in a negative way. And then, you know, the whole parenting issue in the other sense. So it's like, will she choose to explore that? Or will she just kind of choose to stay loyal to her birth, not her birth mum and dad, her adopted mum and dad, and stick on the Aves route?
Mm. So it's it's an interesting place to be in, I think, as a character with that kind of backstory, which, I mean, you brought that to the table when we were coming up, you know, with the character's backstory anyway. So yeah, an interesting dilemma to have and be a part of, I think, especially being the person in the campaign who on both occasions has rolled the best perception check to see what's gone on and been like, oh, hey guys, is that are those high elves? Is that a Goliath princess? And is that an Ara Cochran, like military man kind of thing?
military man
kind of thing. But like the naive nature of Zakiya, like seeing all that stuff and then realizing all that stuff is so like, it's like a kind of coming of age story for me with Zakiya growing up through this campaign and becoming smarter and becoming switched on to more things. And I think you've all got so much still to explore within your stories in this campaign. There's like endless possibilities, but it does put you all in a quandary. And I love that because you guys get to decide what you do. You know, there's so much like railroading or steering that I can do to get you where I need to. And then you guys go, well, these are my character's priorities. This is what I want to do. Do we all align or do we split and do we end some stories and do we start some new ones? Like, that's the interesting part for me. That's coming up very soon, I think.
I think, how are we even going to have that conversation as well? I keep thinking about that. I think, how do you approach a character that you've never met and be like, I think you're my dad? you just don't, do you? Like, that's going to be really weird to do narratively. I wonder how that's going to come about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah,
totally. I'd like to jump back over to Comment Corner now. Thank you, Thomas Solis, for all your live...
Thank you for your gifts, Thomas.
Thank you for
tweeting gifts. It's great. I'd like to send us over now to Comment Corner and a comment that we actually missed from James Winchester.
Yes.
Who sent us in a voice message. Right?
That guy Jim, isn't it? I know this guy. It's that guy Jim.
He sent us in a message for the birthday No Dice that we did. That was the last No Dice that we did. So he sent us in a message. completely missed it because I think we've recorded it and then he sent it in. Mm-hmm. But it's about a minute long message and it's very sweet and very nice, but also very funny, and brings me onto my next segment, which is his Zakiah theory. So let's have a listen to James Winchester's voice note that he left us.
Hi guys, hope we're well. Listen, there's far too many moments from this podcast for me to say I'm a favourite. Couldn't possibly narrow it down to one, so I'll just go with a few things here. Firstly, fuck Lakeland Zega. Secondly, Ollie, these mind shadows, fuck you for them. They are terrifying. Adam, been a fan from What Culture, so to hear you bring Titus to life is just truly refreshing to be hearing you let loose like this. Amy, well, Zach is sus as fuck. But, you know, you're a joy to listen to. Jamie, keep these whippersnappers in line. They will run over you otherwise. And Ollie, thank you. Thank you for your no dice. That was truly eye-opening. And thank you for this world. It's been truly inspiring.
Thank you, James.
That is such a lovely message, James. Thank you, also, James. I mean, thank you for the lovely message, but... James is sus as fuck. Oh, my God.
James is sus about Zakiah being sus. Yep. Amy, you won't know this, but before we recorded the last Birthday No Dice, James sent me this whole theory on Twitter, like privately to me, discussing if this was like a thing. He was like, I need to put my case forward. I need to talk about Zakiah because she's sus as fuck and here's what I think.
It hasn't gone unnoticed to me, the whole Zakiah theory thing is hilarious. And I love seeing it on Twitter because he constantly tags me. And James is constantly like, oh my God, what about this? I think he basically, if he could get Zach is sus as a hashtag, he would. Like, he's so on it. And most of the comments that I read from James Winchester are just like, why didn't Zach do that? Zach's sus as fuck. And at one point I was kind of like, oh my God, dude, like, you really don't like Zach. And he was like, no, she's sus. She's fucking sus, man. Like, he was so, his theory is incredible. I can't wait to hear more about this. So yeah, hit us.
So here is James Winchester's theory. That guy Jim on Twitter, the Zakiah theory. My theory is that Zach is essentially Goku mixed with Harry Potter. Great start. Her arm was, and here we go, Adam. This might solve something.
I'm making notes.
Here we go. Her arm was lost when she was a baby. I theorise that on her home planet of Een, her family was strong-armed into giving up their child, Zach, by an as-of-yet-unknown force to be brought up in the military and conquer other planets. When they refused, they were shown how serious they were by cutting off Zach's arm. So to save their baby, with the aid of Madame Mordana, they sent her away to live amongst the gnomes, who were known to be Brennet and Lothrim. As she grew up, Zach, of course, started to notice she was different and only had one arm, so they made the decision to tell her she lost it in an accident so as to not upset her. I believe that she had knowledge of the attack by Planeswalker, either by Madame Mordana or someone from the military, in the hopes of gaining favour from her to lure her back, in which is why she was conveniently away from the village when it happened. So we're starting to see kind of like... Why James thinks that, like you being in your step-parents' cottage, which was, like, on the outskirts of the village, and why you're, like, possibly one of the only survivors of that attack. After seeing what happened to the village, she was sent into a downward spiral, which, of course, led to her arrest. 5 years have gone by, blah, blah, blah. You beat a dog to death, whatever. In the most recent episode, now, this isn't episode 28, this is episode 27, because this is when he wrote it. Zach had a chance to tell the others of the Arakokran officer in the crowd, yet chose to say nothing. Why? I believe the sight of him brought out a suppressed memory from deep within. I also have a little theory that Madame Mordana isn't dead, and the body that was buried was just a puppet, and her real body is safely somewhere else, maybe even with the army. I mean, fuck me, James.
Wow. Honestly, James, can I just say, like, in all seriousness, because I, whenever you message me and you're always like, Zach is sus, I'm always sort of quite coy with you. But can I just say... Thank you for, like, I can't believe that someone has gone to this much trouble to write a theory about a character that, like, I've made up from nothing. Like, that to me, Just honest to God, like, this is the kind of shit that I live for. Like, I'm always on Reddit for things like this with fandoms that I engage with. And I love that, you know, collectively as a group, we've created a story that somebody has generally come up with a fan theory for. Boys, this is so cool. Like, this is absolutely amazing. The fact that Madame Modana might not be dead and all this stuff. And I love it. I absolutely love it, James. So thank you so much for, this is one, like, a dream come true for, like, a fictional character. I just think it's wicked.
Ollie, is now the right time to mention that we've got a special guest on the next podcast that we do. Tupac is actually going to be joining us.
Tupac is
special guest character.
Yes, Tupac Shakur on episode 29, is it? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it is.
Of Dice with Death. Yeah, man.
God.
James, I echo what Amy is saying, which is the fact that you've connected with this story so much and are so invested and think, no. You listen here, Amy. Zakaria is sus as fuck.
Zakaria is sus. I do agree. Because the...
Yeah. Jamie, speak on it. Tell the people. Tell the truth. Come on, tell them.
Because, like your stats... are slightly sus. They just don't. Because your high strength is sus, and I don't understand why you need high strength unless you're going to multi-class in the future.
I think this is brilliant because I was every single time James Winchester brings this up, I love it because I actually one of these instances I can't argue with, and that is the fact that in the most recent episode, when Zach had a chance to tell the others about the Ara Cochrane officer, she didn't. And it's weird, like, to me at the time, I didn't do that to throw fuel on the fire, because he was already, you know, Zach is sussing me on Twitter before that. But to me, that was almost just like, she wants to kind of, like, she doesn't want to, I don't know, almost, like, say anything to the others, because it was almost like she clocked it, wasn't sure if she really saw it. It was so much more throwaway than I think he read into it. But I completely concur. That's sus as fuck. When I actually listened to that episode back, I was like, oh my God, Ames, why did you do that? Of course that looked bad. But at the time, I didn't think about it. But up until that point, I can't think of anything that's sus about Zach. But again, the stats, I can see why they'd be read that way. And I was laying in bed the other night and I was thinking about it. And I was like, what is sus about Zach? And I do think it is just that she's been made by a D&D noob who's just like not quite sure for her first time really what she's doing. And it's sort of like, what I can liken it to is kind of like when you see, I mean, obviously video games are the only thing that I tend to relate anything to because that's kind of my biggest passion. But when you see someone playing something and they do things really weirdly because they've never been sure how to do it. So maybe like they control the camera really odd or something because they're just, it's strange to them. I guess that in itself is probably why Zach feels sus, because there's bits that don't make sense about her creation. But I just love it. And I'm tempted to, part of me was like, should I just go with it? Should I make her a double agent? Because that was James's first point, was that Zach was a double agent. He was convinced that she was working for someone else. And all I can say is it's given me a lot of inspiration for, you know, stories and stuff in the future.
I can see why someone would listen to this campaign, listen to the first episode and think you were some kind of super soldier killing 30 guards all at once.
Yes, like, see that as well. That's weird, isn't it?
It all builds up. I mean, maybe you being shot in the middle of a forest by a sniper and not immediately dying is sus. I don't know. The amount of things you've survived or maybe not said initially, that could all add to the susness. But I'm never
upfront about the arms situation either. So
no,
that's
true.
There's a lot more mystery, I think, surrounding Zach than there is about Ark and Titus. So maybe that's why.
Adam, any more theories you want to pose about the arm that Amy may or may not be able to answer at this point in time?
I'm not going to posit any theories. I like Titus consistently trying to catch her out.
Yeah,
me too. And just trying to be the most casual but blatantly obvious. Just remind me again how that arm, the arm thing happened.
I loved it when you asked me when I was a dog. And I was like, and you were like, I swear you were speaking English a minute ago.
I can't believe the fact that James has won me over with conspiracy theories. It's been a bad few years for me in conspiracy theories. I've not been a fan of them for quite some time, let's just say, on the internet. But this is one I can finally get on board with.
Okay.
I love it. So
okay.
Cool.
The fact that he states that Zakiya had knowledge of the Planewalker attack is like, that makes you so double agent-y, it's unreal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think, and James, I say this in the nicest possible way, I think you're thinking too Final Fantasy at this point with that kind of stuff. I mean,
I think you should think more Final Fantasy in every situation ever. So yeah, I think maybe. I genuinely think I think there's a deep part of me that's like almost want to like prove James right so I can be like, hey, give him the gratification of being like, I worked it all out, look at me. I was saying Zach was sus from the OG from day one. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of but the Madame Mordana thing's interesting because that's not something we players know anything about. And Ollie has been known to throw the odd twist. Yeah. So there might still be things. I mean, Squiddy as well, going into the famous campaign question that we love to ask every single time we have a no dice, is Squiddy dead?
I think we missed the twist for Madame Mordana because I don't know if we mentioned this on the episode, but if you go back, remember the episode Ceremony? Titus had a wish stone which started to glow and charge and do really cool stuff when we were kind of saying goodbye to Madame Mordana. But Adam, you didn't tell anyone about it.
Oh, Adam.
Oh, bollocks.
Titus
Sorry.
Is sus.
Titus is sus. That's it, James. Change everything. Delete everything on Twitter.
There you go. You've got this a short hashtag.
This is a Titus is sus campaign now. Titus is sus, not Zach.
He's going to come back with a theory about how Titus is Planeswalker.
Yeah. They're going to be like, Titus, quick, pass us the thing to save us. And I'll just turn to them and go, au revoir, and then leave.
He's like, are you telling me that this motherfucker had the chance to headbutt a door and he
and he didn't take it? By God. Jamie, great point brought up there, because that is absolutely something that was missed at the time. But you know what happened? Do you know what happened then? Because that Wishstone thing happened, then you leveled up, and then you met Lakeland Zaga, and all of your attention went on him.
Yeah.
That's what happened. I gave you a character that you immediately hated, and you went, oh, I've won the campaign. I want to hate this prick. But yeah, Jamie, you make a very good point. there is a wish stone currently in Titus's satchel in his pocket. It did do some pulsating and glowing when you all did your speeches at the ceremony and at the start of the episode where you met Lakeland Zaga. I can't say any more on that.
That's so basically what you are saying, though, is it's all Lakeland Zaga's fault, which I can believe.
Yeah, sure.
Fuck
sure.
Lakeland Zaga. Just
fuck
Lakeland Zaga. It is all Lakeland Zaga's fault. Well, maybe on that note then, fuck Lakeland Zaga. I think we'll wrap the podcast up there. Thank you so much to my players, Jamie, Amy and Adam, for coming through and talking about all the episodes of Dice with Death that we haven't quite caught up on, the last four of the campaign. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even brilliantly, more brilliant, whatever, English Ollie, you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Jamie, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen the people leaving 5-star reviews on Spotify, so we'd like that to continue, wouldn't we?
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us that 5-star review. It really helps us kind of grow and kind of get on those charts on Spotify, which is amazing.
Thank you to everyone else who's participated in this episode. Thomas Solis, little clap for you, Thomas. James Winchester, thank you very much for your input and your theories. If you want to get at us on the social media, we're at Dice Death Pod. We're always on Twitter. So if you want to send us your theories about the campaign so far, what you've enjoyed or what you're looking forward to, do. And yeah, download the Anchor app, find us on Anchor, and send us a voice message like James and everybody else did for our birthday no dice that we did earlier on in the year. Jamie, is there anything you'd like to plug and then say your social media handle?
Not really. I just want to thank everyone for the patience, really. To be a bit kind of like just share my life story at the moment. I'm really not too well at the moment. So I just want to say a massive thank you for like your patience with like the episodes and everything. And I'm, you know, we're getting through them. But yeah, thank you so much. You can, if you want to get me on social media, get me on Twitter. I'm at Jamoo1987.
Yeah, thanks for everybody's patience. We know we took a 5-6 week break, but honestly, we needed it. I quit a job. Amy got ill. Jamie got ill. Adam flew to the States and was never going to come back because he was going
to
live at
WrestleMania.
I went to
WrestleMania, baby.
He went to WrestleMania.
Adam arguably had the best time.
Yes, he did. Adam had a lovely time and we were all crying back home in the UK. Amy, is there anything you'd like to plug? And then, hey, tell us your social media handle. Where can we visit you online?
Oh, well, do you know, I would actually just like to say, like, a massive, massive thank you. I mean, to all of everyone who listens, but also to Jamie, because you put in so much work to this podcast that I don't think we ever really... I mean, we obviously say thank you so much for working on it, but just we really appreciate you. And actually, listeners should as well, because this podcast probably, although there's four of us on it, this podcast wouldn't get made without Jamie and Ollie. So obviously me and Adam do have a part in it, but it's a small part in comparison to you guys. So just massive appreciation, really. And yeah, I think we've come back after a bit of a break and we all can't wait to get back in, like, as you can tell by the excitement of all these stories.
There's so much good stuff. I mean, I've already prepped the next episode, and I could, all you listeners who do listen to No Dice, the next one is going to be fucking crazy, and these guys don't even know it yet. So yeah, please, thank you to Jamie, thank you to Adam and Amy as well, like, for being part of this is great. Thank you to me, because I'm me and I want to thank me. Adam, is there anything else that you'd like to plug, and where can people get you on the social media too?
Yeah, just to echo everything that Amy said, obviously, and in a weird sort of Uno reverse kind of way, because often I'm on What Culture plugging D&D, I'm going to do the reverse here. So if you've enjoyed Titus's exploits and you think, hey, this wrestling thing might be for me, well, we've got a What Culture Wrestling podcast. Just search for that wherever you get your podcasts from, and we've got a wrestling YouTube channel. Just search What Culture Wrestling on YouTube and you can see my face being just all over the bloody place, basically, on that channel. So do go and check that out. And if you want to follow me on Twitter or any social media, in fact, you can find me on there at Adam Wilborn.
Thank you for listening. We will see you in the next campaign episode of Dice with Death. I cannot bloody wait. It's going to be so good. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.